The Lord be with you.
And with your spirit.
A reading from the Holy Gospel according to Mark.
Glory to you, O Lord.
Jesus summoned the crowd again and said to them, "Hear me, all of you, and understand. Nothing that enters one from outside can defile that person. But the things that come out from within are what defile." When he got home, away from the crowd, his disciples questioned him about the parable. He said to them, "Are even you likewise without understanding? Do you not realize that everything that goes into a person from outside cannot defile, since it enters not the heart, but the stomach, and passes out into the latrine? Thus he declared all foods clean. But what comes out from the man, that is what defiles him. From within the man, from his heart, come evil thoughts, unchastity, theft, murder, adultery, greed, malice, deceit, licentiousness, envy, blasphemy, arrogance, folly. All these evils come from within, and they defile." The Gospel of the Lord. Good. So once again, good morning, brothers and sisters. Hear this, all of you, and try to understand. It's that what comes out from a man that is what defiles him. You know, in the Old Covenant, I've made reference to this before, but in the Old Covenant, there were a number of things that would make you defiled, that is, ritually impure, unfit for temple worship. Could be contact with bodily fluids like blood or sores or open wounds. That would make you ritually impure. If a woman gave birth, she was ritually impure for 40 to 80 days, depending on the circumstances, and there's nothing she could do about it. That's just the way it was. Ritually impure. You could come in contact with a dead body, or even brush up against a tomb, even by accident, and you'd be made ritually impure. Now, our Lord today, he advances our understanding of his revelation, one very important point, by telling us that the worship of God can never be reduced to any mere external. The true worship of God is a matter of the heart. Okay, so let's take a closer look at what that means. First thing we want to understand is what that does not mean. That does not mean that regardless of what you do, as long as your heart was in the right place, you've done the right thing. That's a very popular idea these days, but it can't mean that. And think about this for a moment. Wherever objective truth, right and wrong, are involved, sincerity alone is never enough. I'll give you a little example. Imagine your doctor gives you the wrong prescription, but his heart was in the right place. Right? Does that make everything okay? No, you might not even be alive, okay? It doesn't make everything okay. It's not enough. But it does mean that you and I essentially have a heart problem. The problem with the worship of God is essentially something that comes from our hearts. And you know, this is bodily, as I mentioned before. The desires of your heart with regard to your body and all of its demands are way out of whack. Every bodily indulgence is one that we want far over and above what's good for us and what's good for others. It's also true spiritually. Aren't our hearts in the wrong place when we have our little resentments and we won't forgive, or we hold little grudges for months and days and years, and the rest of the world's forgotten, but we're still holding on? It's a problem of the heart. It's a problem of the heart. Essentially, our hearts are in the wrong place, and it's a constant temptation down through the ages to think that if I just get the externals right, that I'm going to be right with God. You know, that was essentially paganism. If we could all get in a time machine, we're all going to go back to ancient Greece and observe what they do, say at the temple of Aphrodite or the temple of Zeus. They gather up the right amount of cereal and grain offerings and they burn them before the right statue in the right way, saying the right words. And having carried out their half of the bargain, they now expect Zeus to carry out his half of the bargain. We treat God that way. You can never reduce your worship of God to external things. Some people think this means it's saying the right prayers and the right devotions. For somebody else, it might be community service. Nothing wrong with prayers, nothing wrong with community service, but neither of them is a gift of the heart. There's a constant temptation also to think of God's grace as being like a shield that protects you on the day of judgment. As long as you got that shield up, you're safe. God's grace is a gift that transforms you right now, giving you His life, allowing you to give Him your heart. The only thing in the whole universe God does not have. What's the heart? It's that core of you that chooses. That's what the heart is. Everything else in the whole universe God has except for that. And the true worship of God means giving that to Him in our thoughts, in our words, and in our actions. So when does a thought become a sin or a virtue? When it becomes a free choice, that's when. When does a word become a sin or a virtue? When it becomes a free choice, that's when. When does an action become a sin or something very praiseworthy? When it becomes a free choice. When does a temptation become a sin? Temptation never becomes a sin, contrary to popular opinion, because a temptation is never a free choice. But here's the thing that our Lord is asking for. That freedom that only you can give is the one thing God wants. And that is where the true worship of God is found. St. Therese, the Little Flower, she once said that all things are pure for one whose heart is pure. And I hope now I've made clear what that means. So what we want to do, we want to place our hearts in the Lord's presence, that by His grace, He might make them pure. Amen.